Daniel chapter 6. I'm just going to read one verse, and that's verse 10, hoping that you, most of us, understand the context of what we're speaking of. The princes and presidents sought to find something against Daniel, knew they couldn't find it against him, and so they get a petition up to the king that nobody should ask anything of their God without the king's permission for 30 days. And so that's where we're at in verse 10. I didn't want to take time to read the whole passage. I hope and pray that you're a little bit acquainted with that story. Most of us are. But Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And this is what I want to concentrate on this morning. As he did aforetime. Nothing changed for Daniel. Nothing stopped him from being consistent. Not even a petition, which meant possible death. Just hold that thought as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. And I pray that, Lord, we would be encouraged. And Lord, how I do pray that we'd be challenged to this day. Father, a new year is coming upon us, and we know that you're a God that knows nothing of time. For you, Lord God, eternity. You're not limited by time, but Lord, we are. And Father, I pray that God, you would encourage us as we prepare to enter into a new year, for we know not what awaits your church. But Lord, we do know that the perils of these latter days shall increase. And we do know, Lord, that many shall continue to depart from the faith. We know that many false doctrines and heresies and teachers will arise. And Father, we need, Father, Lord, divine assistance. We need, Lord God, thy grace and thy mercy. And therefore, I pray that, Lord, you'd be merciful to us this morning. And Lord, that our hearts and our faith would be challenged. And that, Father, you'd be honored and glorified in that. And that, Lord, you'd inspire us anew. Lord, that we might strive to be more consecrated to your service. That we might long, Father, to be drawn closer to you in fellowship. Be used of thee in service, Father. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We have recorded in the book of Daniel many blessed and vital truths which should greatly encourage and motivate even the most timid believer to contend for that faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We all grew up with the book of Daniel. If you ever spent time in Sunday school, everyone knows about Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew children. And most of us are acquainted with the story of Daniel. But Daniel's got a lot of truths in there that should encourage and motivate us, especially in the days and age in which we live in today, that we should challenge our faith for God, should challenge our devotion to God, and challenge our service. And it's in this sixth chapter that we find possibly the greatest of them all, and the secret, I believe, to Daniel's success and victories, of everything that he did. But allow me, first of all, to give you a few short minutes of a quick introduction to the circumstances surrounding Daniel here so that we can kind of get an understanding of where he's at. These were terrible and difficult times for the children of Israel, for most of us know that. They were driven from their homeland because of their own sins and backsliding. God drove them out of their own land because of their sins and their backslidings. And that's very important for us to understand, and time does not avail me to get into that. But I believe that the messages the church need to hear today, and we'll be looking at them more in the new year as we go into the new year. I believe the messages the church needs to hear today are the messages the minor prophets had. Simply because of this. History repeats itself. And a lot of times as God's people, we tend to have the same mindset that the Jews had. God would never, never turned his back on us. We'd be the children of Abraham. I'm not saying that God is going to change his everlasting covenant or his love or mercy or anything, but history repeats itself. And Romans chapter 9 talks about us not boasting that God can just as much cut us out and replant the Jews as he did the Jews for us, in short sentence. So what I'm saying is basically, I believe the messages that we need to hear as a church in this latter day and age is the messages of the minor prophets, because those were the prophets that God sent to his people before he brought judgment on Israel. And I believe those are the same messages we need to hear today. I think the church is very arrogant. I think the church, and I mean a general statement, I think the church is very comfortable. I think they're at ease in Zion. I believe the consecration, the service, the zeal, the dedication, the devotion is lacking abundantly. But we're all living these things, and at the same time we're saying, but I'm of the elect. And so we don't fear that God is going to remove His presence, remove His Spirit, remove His power. And yet, again, I don't want to get wrapped up in that now, but God is doing that. We see evidences of that everywhere. Souls are not being converted. Christians are not growing in grace and knowledge. The holiness and sanctification and consecration of God's people are not seen. Schisms and divisions amongst God's people. The church is in a deplorable state. I believe that if we had eyes to see, we would have to admit that God is not very happy with His church in the day and age in which we live in. And so I would hope and pray that God would return His power to us, that God would return His presence to us and bless us. But I believe there's a lot of repenting that needs to take place in the church in general. I believe there needs to be a lot of turning back to the ways, the old ways, Brother Greg's always talking about. But I believe all those things need to take place. And I said that so that we can kind of get an understanding of where Daniel's at. Daniel is in Babylon because God's people sinned against God. And God drove them out of their country. Now, the great city Jerusalem is in rubbles. It's been plundered by their enemies. And now the great conquerors of Israel are now slaves in Babylon. And not only that, they've got to submit themselves to the heathen. They're slaves. They're servants. And so that's the circumstances surrounding Daniel right now, the three Hebrew children, and all Israel. That's the circumstances surrounding them. It's terrible times. Very terrible times. In fact, Psalm 37 describes it even better when it says, Psalm 37, 1-4, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They had no reason to sing, no reason to rejoice. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required us of mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And that depicts exactly the situation that Daniel, his three friends, and I'm sure there were more than just Daniel and his three friends who were faithful. It's just Daniel and the three Hebrew children who are depicted in the book of Daniel. I believe there are more than simply four. But the Word of God just depicts three of them. But that's the situation that was facing Daniel and all the Jews in Babylon. They didn't have a reason to rejoice or sing. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had deserted them, had turned them over to their enemies. And Jerusalem is now in rubbles. And so they have no reason to sing. And yet in spite of all the sorrow and sadness wrought upon them for their own sins, even in Babylon, God would have a remnant. And that has always been an encouragement for me as a believer. Okay? God has always had a remnant. Elijah thought he was the only one and said, Lord, I'm the only one. And God said, no, you're not. I've got many, many more besides you. So don't think yourself. And I don't know how you think about that, but I've always said that since my young Christian age when God began dealing with me about this remnant thing, is I thought, Lord, may I always be of the remnant, regardless of how wicked the day and age is. God, help me to be of that small number that refuses to bow their knee and stay and remain consecrated fully to your service. And beloved, that continues to be my prayer. Now, I know that I need, as well as all believers, divine assistance to do that. But I hope and pray that that would be your desire as well. God, regardless of how wicked the day and age is, help me to ever be faithful, loyal, and dedicated to your service, regardless of what happens. And that is exactly what we have in Daniel. Having sought successfully to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, we find that in the beginning of chapter 6. In other words, they wanted to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. In other words, his moral conduct. They couldn't. Because the Bible says he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now that's a wonderful testimony. We're not going to find any problems with Daniel regarding his moral conduct. He's a faithful servant. He obeys the law. He's got a high testimony in front of everybody. We're not going to be able to find anything against Daniel because he's living a morally, ethically, and good life before all. And that's in the midst of Babylon. So that tells us immediately, I hope and pray, that that's necessary for us as well. Regardless of how wicked the times are, we should still be striving to live a moral, sanctified life, a testimony before the world of our righteousness, of our justice, of our equity, of our being fair, of our being faithful, of our being hospitable and kind, all those virtues. That's what Daniel was. And they said, we're not going to find anything concerning the kingdom. But the presidents did try to find an occasion against him concerning the law of his God. And that's what they said in verse 5. Let me go ahead and read that. They said, these wise men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, not that Daniel would do anything to contradict or disobey God's law. They're saying the only way we can get Daniel is if we can kind of upset him concerning his devotion and faithfulness to God. Follow me, because that's vitally important for us today. The only way that we can hinder Daniel, the only way we can find occasion against Daniel, is to try to make him stumble concerning his faithfulness and devotion of God, which we're sure he's not going to do. You see, the plan was to get rid of Daniel. Amen? And so, if they thought if they made this petition, Daniel would surely cower in the shadows and not do nothing, they would have never done this petition. But they knew Daniel is not only a moral, just man before mankind, Daniel's also a faithful and devoted servant of God. And I'm telling you, they said, if we make a petition that says you can't seek your God, Daniel's going to sin against that petition because Daniel is a faithful and devoted servant of God. And that's a twofold testimony I wish I had more of. To where my life would be outwardly a moral testimony and witness to me being a just and a righteous man in Christ. And my faith and devotion to God would as equally be seen amongst men. That man is devoted solely to God. That's why they made this petition. They knew Daniel would not stop. They knew Daniel would not hinder. Daniel would not be influenced by anything in his devotion to God. Beloved, follow me through this because it's vitally important. Like I said in the beginning, I wish merely to challenge our faith for the new year. Okay? This is the most remarkable testimony concerning the character and faith of the man called Daniel. For not only was his life a testimony, like I said, of his character and conduct before men, but also a witness of his faithfulness and his devotion to God. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. That's the only way that we're going to be able to find something against Daniel, and it's not his weaknesses, but it's his strength in serving his God. Amen? And beloved, so it is even today concerning the devices of our adversary. Though we might have a good and moral testimony before the world, it is our faithfulness and our devotion to God which he seeks to attack and destroy. Amen? There's a lot of moral men in the world, men and women. There's a lot of good men and women in the world that their characters are without a blemish, but they're not believers. I know one over in Germany. In fact, he became a deacon after he got saved. The guy even would tell you, growing up, he had very little sins he could look back on. Not that he was perfect. He had mistakes, but he was just an all-around good guy. He was generally a good, nice guy. His parents raised him up well. He was respectful. He was hospitable. His name's Karl Heinz. And he was just an all-around good guy. He never did any drugs, never did any alcohol, never did none of those things. He grew up a good, morally good guy. But he wasn't a Christian. And we can be morally good before the world. We can be nice and hospitable, and we can carry ourselves like Christians. But, beloved, that's not going to be what our adversary is going to attack. Our adversary is going to attack our faithfulness and devotion and consecration to God. And there's where a lot of believers lack consistency. We're consistent in being good. We're consistent in carrying ourselves in a proper conduct, but we're not consistent in our devotion to God. Even the small things, as we'll see. This was a routine for Daniel. As a matter of fact, I'm amazed about it, getting ahead of myself, but I'm amazed about it that they attacked his prayer life. How often did they walk by and look up and see Daniel? There he is again. Third time today. That guy's always up there praying. Every day they walked by, rain, sunshine, didn't matter. They could count on Daniel praying three times a day. It was being consistent in the seemingly small things that really irked them about Daniel. Amen? We're not consistent in the small things. Bible reading, prayer, church, prayer meeting. We're not consistent in those things. And because we're not consistent, The devil fears not our testimony. He'd much rather we be moral and just and good and hospitable. But don't be consistent in your devotion to God, because that shows people you have high regards for the living God. And that testimony is much more greater than simply being good. Because there's a lot of people that are good. Daniel, we got a lot of business to do tonight. We've got to get all this stuff down. He was the head of these princes. He had a lot of business. We got a lot of business to do. Daniel said, I'll be back in an hour. Yeah, I'll be back in an hour. Daniel went off and he'd pray. Now, where'd Daniel go off? Well, we all know where Daniel went off. He went to pray. Boy, that guy sure has a devotion to God. Are you following me, beloved? Again, like I said, I'm simply wanting to challenge you. We're not consistent. Daniel didn't allow circumstances to hinder his devotion to God. And that was a testimony to the world. As a matter of fact, again, it says again in Daniel chapter 6, what does it say in verse 10? As he did aforetime. As he always did. They could rely on Daniel being consistent and habitual in devotion to God. And that's what they knew would ensnare him. Amen? Because Daniel would not and had not allowed anything to hinder him in serving his God. Now, beloved, we might not think it's much to the world or to our family members if we're inconsistent in a few things. They know I love God. That's not enough. There needs to be a consistency that shows I have a priority in life. And this priority is seen clearly in my devotion and consecration to God. Amen? And beloved, there's going to be a lot of things in the world that's going to try to hinder that. Again, this wasn't something seemingly great. I'm not belittling prayer. This was a habitual exercise for Daniel. It was routine for Daniel. Yet it was a routine that told the world, that guy's got a devotion to God and a consecration to God, which is undeniable. So these presidents and princes desire of the king to make a petition. And this petition would be directed against Daniel's prayer life, as he did aforetime. Like I said before, I'm amazed that they went towards his prayer life. I'm sure Daniel continued having his devotion times. I'm sure Daniel continued reading the scriptures. But every time Daniel got up in that room and opened his window towards Jerusalem, he's defying Babylon and everything it is. He's opening his windows publicly to Jerusalem, saying, I'm defying everything that you are. I'm praying still to the God of Israel. And that consistency is what really got them so upset. Now, if Daniel was only doing this occasionally, they'd say, well, we're not going to find nothing against him about that. We'll have to find something else. No, this was consistent. It was publicly seen, publicly viewed. And I'm sure there's not a lot of Israelites in Babylon that had the courage to sit there three times a day and open their windows to Jerusalem, defying Babylon. Amen? The circumstances around Daniel had radically changed. Yet those circumstances didn't change Daniel. Beloved, this is a great rebuke to this generation of believers who are consistently, constantly allowing their outward circumstances to influence their devotion and dedication and faithfulness to the things of God. And we do. We constantly allow ourselves to be influenced by outward circumstances when it comes to devotion and consecration and faithfulness to God. And some of those things might appear in themselves, and they might even be just and simple in themselves. Nothing sinful. Nothing unrighteous. Yet it breaks up that consistency which we should have. Amen? And it shows the world that we're not consistent in our devotion and faithfulness to God. Oh, we might profess our faithfulness and our devotion, and we might say our character will carry us over. But beloved, it's our actions which speak louder than our words. These are things, dearly beloved, we should seriously consider. Again, I remind you, Daniel was the head over all these princes, over all these principles. Amen? He was the head of them. He had a big job to do. If anybody could find a reason not to stay committed to his routine dedication to God, it would be Daniel. You know how big Babylon was? Yet Daniel said, I'll not be interrupted. I'll not be influenced by my circumstances. Three times a day I've committed myself to praying to the Almighty God. Three times a day I've committed myself to sitting or kneeling in front of my window with my windows open towards Jerusalem, and I will defy anyone who tries to tell me I cannot do that. Now, I think that we can also get from our text this morning that Daniel didn't do this to be belligerent. It says, as aforetime. Daniel didn't say, well, I'll show them. And like many Christians are saying, okay, you push me in the corner, now I'll show you my... No, Daniel said, this is routine. I'm not changing anything. I'm not being provocative here. This is my life. This is my devotion. This is my entire longing. Amen. This is my priority in life. I like what Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:32. It says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I like that. Hebrews says, call to remembrance the former days. Remember when you first got saved and, oh man, nobody could stop you from faithfully reading your word and praying over your supper or your dinner or praying at home and going to church and the prayer meetings. I mean, you'd have to be almost half dead not to do those things. You'd have to be a blizzard outside to stop you from doing that. We're going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. And yet nowadays it seems as though, don't misunderstand the statement, a hard day. God knows. Beloved, that's the problem. God knows. That's all right if I skip my reading today. It's not that bad. I'll just read twice as much tomorrow. So I didn't pray as much today. I'll pray more tomorrow. So I missed a prayer meeting or church. Again, I'm trying to say this in the right spirit because I want to be a challenge for the new year. Beloved, if Grace Baptist Church is going to make a difference in Pullman, we're going to have a faith that's above what people here describe as being faith. It's going to have to be a lot more sacrificial, consecrated, dedicated, devoted. Otherwise, folks are going to look at Grace Baptist and say, you're just like all the other 22 churches. What makes you any different? They looked at Daniel and said, something's different about this Daniel. Why did they pick out Daniel and not any other Israelites? I'm not saying others weren't doing it, but evidently Daniel did it in such a way that it just brought envy upon his enemies. You know, it's not those great feats of faith which testify of the believer's devotion and faith. It's not the great feats of faith. It's not moving mountains. It's not fighting Goliath. David's fall didn't come from fighting Goliath. David's fall came from a greater Goliath than that. David's fall came from something within inside of him. If David would have, and we'll be looking at Psalm 51, but evidently David always had a problem with women. It wasn't something that just showed up and she was there. David had a problem with women. David never dealt with that problem. You see, it's not the great things that cause us to fall. It's the small things. And being consistent in the small things make us great in the big things. That's a biblical principle. A church that is consistent, regardless of the circumstances of the world, a church that is devoted, regardless what the world does and every other church does, a church that is consecrated to serve God regardless, is a church that's going to send a strong message to the world like Daniel. We're not going to bow a knee to the wicked perils of these days. We're not going to allow ourselves to be influenced by anything. God is our major priority in life. And beloved, that's what we need in this day and age. It's not the great feats of faith. listen to me. But it's the persevering in the routine or habitual duties. You follow me? It's the persevering in the routine and habitual duties which testify of our faithfulness and devotion to God. It's not the great feats of faith. It's those small things. Those apparent small things. Well, all he's doing is praying. Many would probably walk by and say, he's just praying. He's doing much more than pray. And they knew that. When Rome came to England and the Catholic Church was just destroying everybody, I mean, wiping out anything that had anything to do with Protestant or evangelicals, wiping out everything, wasn't Catholic. Well, they got up on a ridge one day, the Roman soldiers were looking down in this small little valley up in the highlands, and gathered around this tree are about 20 or 30 Christians, and they're on their knees praying. And the captain told his lieutenant, he said, take a few men down there and wipe them out. He said, sir, they're only praying. He said, that's the problem. They're only praying. Well, it's only a day missed of scripture, a day missed of prayer, a day missed of church, a day missed of prayer meetings. It's not that important. Sure is. Consistency. In the small, habitual routines of our Christian duties is what enables us, dearly beloved, to be able to do great things for God. You know, Matthew 25, it was the good and faithful servant is the one who is faithful over a few things. Read it, Matthew 25. The good and faithful servant is one who is faithful over a few things, who then is made ruler over many things. That's where we need to start out in our own Christian life. Be it time of prayer during the day, be it our devotions when nobody can see us and nobody's around, be it scripture reading, be it the services we have, the prayer meetings. And I know, beloved, in saying that, I know there are occasions when things are just not possible for that. I know that things come up, whether it's illness or family, or I realize that. And so that's not a critical statement towards anyone or anything. I know things do come up. But I pray if they do, that this message this morning would ask you to question your heart twice whether the circumstance is worthy of it. Amen? So that we might be able to say, it doesn't matter. I mean, I had folks and friends over in Germany. In Germany, Christmas is a big thing over in Germany. I mean, big thing. I mean, like there's a lot of people over there, but over there it's a really big family thing. And I had folks telling me, said, well, preacher, I can't come, when it was on Sunday, I can't come to church on Sunday. I got family members. I can't leave them at home. I said, yes, you can. Say, hey, turn the TV on or turn the food on or eat something. I'll be back in an hour, but I'm going to church. I said, that's a greater testimony than saying, well, I'll just sacrifice it for my family. A testimony in my actions. Where were you going? I'm going to church. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm going to church. You don't understand. I'm going to church. I want to hear the Word of God preached. I want to praise God. I want to be with the brothers and sisters. That sends a stronger message to anybody than anything else could. And I know there's a lot say, well, I just don't think that's that important. Well, it is. It was for the princes here that had something against Daniel as aforetime. He knew the petition was signed. He went upstairs and opened his window, and as aforetime, like he always did before, he prayed, knowing that it would cost him his life. Amen? And he still did it. We all know the rest of the story, how it ended. The king was upset, tried to deliver Daniel, couldn't do it, because when a king made a law, you couldn't break it. Not in Medo Persian law, you couldn't break it. None of the king could break it. So the king was in a fix, and the king said, okay, threw Daniel in sin and said, Daniel, I know the God you serve is going to save you. What a testimony. The king said that. I know the God you serve. How did he know that? Not because he was not offensive in his character. It's because he was faithful in his service and duty and devotion to God. He says, I know the God whom you serve will save you, will redeem you. And Daniel's down there praying with the lions, amen? And you know the rest of the story. all the other princes and everything were through in there, and they didn't even hit the ground before the lions chewed them up and pulled Daniel out of that. What happened? The king proclaimed throughout the whole nation of Babylon, throughout the whole Babylon, Daniel's God is the living God. You see, that was all because, that all was because Daniel was faithful in the seemingly small, habitual, routine duties of praying. You see what happens? That all came about. I mean, the end story is God was proclaimed throughout the nation or throughout Babylon. The king said it. But it all started with Daniel being faithful and devoted and consecrated to the seemingly small routines of his duties and services to God. Isn't that amazing? It is. And beloved, there's a great lesson for us to be learned here. And I hope and pray that we can all do it, because we can all use an encouragement in this lesson. I can, you can. So often, even a pastor, even though I don't have a secular job, I can allow other things to interfere, and I'm not spending time with God as I should. I'm not spending time in prayer with God as I should. And believe me, it can happen. Amen. When you've got time to your own and you can kind of choose when you want to do what you want to do, sometimes that's even more dangerous than having to make time because you've got a job. I'll do it later. Later comes and I'll do it later. Later comes and I'll do it later. And then it's too late to do it because it's too late to do later or earlier. All that. But anyway, we're all guilty of it. Amen? We need not to be. Amen? I've been guilty of it, slipping up with the newspaper, not getting the articles out on time. So it's been a couple of weeks without allowing other things to get in. We're all guilty of it. There's not one person here this morning that's not. So it's a message really which applies to all of us. And may God give us grace in 2008 to be consistent in the seemingly small things. And beloved, that's going to require a lot of sacrifice. It really is. Amen? Because we are prone to allow circumstances to dictate to us how devoted we should be to God and the things of God. We shouldn't allow that to happen. Amen? So next time something arises in our lives, before we allow it to dictate to us or influence us, let us think twice. Lord, is this worthy? Is this worth it? Or is it better that I just simply remain faithful? Let me close with these words. Daniel didn't know that his habitual three times a day would lead to the whole country of Babylon being proclaimed that God was the only... Daniel didn't know that. Daniel was simply just serving God. You never know. Amen? I mean, there's been times we've all been there. You come to Sunday church Sunday night or Wednesday night, and sometimes, especially Wednesday night, you're tired, you're wore out, you come to church, wonder why you're here, and you left going home going, man, am I glad I was there? That's just what I needed, refreshment. This is just, you know, that always happens to us. Amen? Sometimes nothing happens, but being faithful, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road, comes a Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever it might be, his service would just bless our hearts. Why? Because we was faithful the other times. It all plays out. Amen? It really does, beloved. That's why we should always, regardless, when it comes to our times with the Lord, and I know I'm gone over my time now, but when it comes to our devotion and our consecration and our service and duties for God, those habitual duties, let us think twice, always, and not just simply immediately kind of just cast. Let us think twice. Maybe this isn't really good or profitable. Amen? And usually, life situations aren't that desperate to where we can't say, we'll discuss it when I get home. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll do it next time. Or, I have to pray now. I have to read my scripture now. I'll wait and handle it when I'm finished. Amen? Sometimes you have to do that. Let me have my time with God first. And amen? There's always time to do that. And may we take these things in consideration. Amen? I hope and pray it's been a challenge to you. Amen? I believe in studying this text. That's why I told him I was glad I got to study it. I mean, my toes were stepped on quite a few times studying this text. Never forget, if a preacher's really preaching the truth, you know, he gets it preached to him first, and usually it's directly from heaven. You hope and pray, and so sometimes it gets a little bit more uncomfortable for him than it does for you. So, believe me, my toes has been stepped on as well, but I'm encouraged by it. I love to be challenged by it. I always loved going to church and having my faith challenged. I did not like going to church and going out those doors thinking I wasn't challenged to do anything more for God. I always loved to be challenged, even if it meant uncomfortable messages, which kind of stirred in my heart. At least that showed me that God's trying to speak to me, and I rejoiced in that. So I hope and pray that we all have the same thing. And so we're going to be challenged the next hour as well. Amen. We'll be looking at James. Are you a hearer only or a doer of the word? Amen. We're looking at the difference between those two. So pray for us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you.